We're going to spend some time in John chapter 11 today. So if you have your Bibles and, or your electronic device that you use to read your scriptures on, you can get that out. We studied a little bit Wednesday night. We'll be doing some more depth studies on it this coming Wednesday night in Bible study class. But it's a wonderful story. It's really a wonderful story. And it's a powerful story because it sort of foreshadows something that each one of us needs to be aware of. Those of you who sit through some of my Bible study classes know I get hung up on words and names and so forth. And you know, I'm over half a century old. and I will say I never really thought too much about the name Lazarus. I just knew it was a Bible name. I didn't never personally know anyone named Lazarus. Anyone know anyone named Lazarus? No one knows anyone named Lazarus. But I never really thought too much about the name and stuff. So I got hung up in preparing for the lesson this week and thought, I want to know more about what it meant to have the name Lazarus and what it said to people. You know, years ago, people's names really told something about their circumstance or who they were. And when people heard the name, they knew there must be a story behind that name and so forth. And I think people just now pick out names because it sounds pretty or it goes with this one or whatever like that. But the name Lazarus is actually a Greek word that means God is my help, or one whom God helped, either how you want to say it. God is my help. That was what his parents named him, you know. They named him God is my help, you know. So, and I don't know how that formed and shaped his life. You know, he grew up in a house. He had two sisters that we know of, Martha and Mary. And they were pretty close-knit family, apparently, because even as adults, they still be living in the same house. He has a Greek name, but a Jewish identity, which was not uncommon. We see people in scriptures that have more than one name. You know, we have like Simon Peter, and you know, we have Paul that becomes, you know, Saul that becomes Paul. We have, you know, we have John Mark. We have people who have more than one name. But he has a Greek name, but he's a Jewish person, and so his name is Lazarus. But that was not uncommon. But somehow there's something in this, and does his name sort of even become prophetic in what happens in his life? So, to be fair, there are actually two people in Scripture named Lazarus. Luke is the only person who tells us about the story of the rich man and Lazarus. You know, Jesus tells a parable about a rich man who just had everything he wanted in his life. He dined sumptuously, and there's this poor beggar named Lazarus who could survive off the crumbs that fell off the rich man's table. And Lazarus was pitiful, you know, just a pitiful, pitiful person. Lazarus dies, and he's taken to Abraham's bosom for comfort. And the rich man dies and lifts his eyes, being in torment. And so Jesus said, this is sort of what happens in life, that there's a judgment, and you either go to one place or the other. And so that name is used there. I don't know why Jesus chose the name Lazarus. Maybe because he liked his friend Lazarus. I don't know. But John is exclusively the only gospel that tells us about the story of a man named Lazarus from Bethany. And so the name's used twice. It's not the same person, apparently. But the name is used twice in the New Testament. So the question I have this morning is sort of, could I be Lazarus? Could I be what it meant to be Lazarus, the one whom God loved? Could I be what happened to Lazarus in the ultimate end of Lazarus' experience? Could I be that? So to spend some time this morning, we need to look at John chapter 11. So it's a reading. It's somewhat lengthy. Just bear with me, but I'm going to read it, okay? Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So he tells us sort of who he's talking about. Therefore the sister sent to him, that is Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. You're getting a little irony in his name, the one whom you love, Lord, and the one who loves the Lord. Okay. When Jesus heard that, he said, "The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So, when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you're going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." These things he said after that, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I may go to wake him up." Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." Then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." Now, I'm going to point a little thing out. We point out when he's not in the Bible study class. That passage, if you're following along in the text, "let us go die with him," it's not "go die with Lazarus." The text is capitalized there. So the word "him" is "let us go die with Jesus." That's what he's saying. Let us go to Judea to die, to be stoned with Jesus. So he's not referencing Lazarus. He's referencing Jesus. So sometimes we read that, sounds like he's referencing Lazarus. Let's go die with Lazarus. He says, no, let us go die with Jesus. So, when Jesus had came, he found that he had already been dead in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. But Mary was still sitting in the house. Now, Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, he will give you." And Jesus said to her, You will see your brother. Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." And when she said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and is calling for you." And as soon as she heard this, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus was not yet come into town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw Mary, arose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." Then when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him, and she fell down at his feet, saying, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews came with her weeping. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Verse 35. What does it say there, church? Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of blind also kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was this cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he's been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was laying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that you may believe, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And he who died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes. His face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary had seen the things Jesus did, believed in him. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus did. John does a masterful way of telling the story. Can't you see it? Can't you visualize it? Many of you know the depths of grief that Mary and Martha were feeling. You can put yourself in their situation. But I don't want you to stay with them this morning in just their situation. I want you to think of Lazarus. And I'm going to give you a pretty simple lesson. There's no deep theology here. It's pretty straightforward. Three things I want you to know this morning. Three reasons to be like Lazarus. One, he loved Jesus. Two, Jesus loved him. And three, he obeyed Jesus. So this morning, he loved Jesus. Jesus said these things. Our friend Lazarus sleeps. Jesus recognized that he was his friend, that he loved him. Jesus said in John 8:42 to the Pharisees one time, he says, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. So there must have been something about Lazarus in his life, in his character, and who he was, that he knew that he loved God, and therefore he loved Jesus, and Jesus loved his family. Lazarus loved the Lord. Jesus says that it's really important for you to understand, if you love God, you got to love me. John chapter 16, verse 27, John says, for the Father himself loves you because you've loved me and believe that I came forth from God. I can't help but believe that when Mary made that statement that you are the Christ, the Son of God, and you've come to this world, that as Lazarus would say, amen, sister, amen. He loved Jesus because of who he was and who he is from. Jesus was asked on one occasion, Lord, what is the greatest command? What did he say? Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And somehow Lazarus and his family, they approximated that and how they interacted with Jesus and how the other disciples, Jesus, he is our friend. There was no doubt that he loved the Lord. That's all they had to say. Your friend Lazarus is sick, the one you love. So the second point this morning is that Jesus loved him. Twice John says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, John 11:35, in the same text, when they saw that memory verse that we all can remember as a kid, Jesus wept, John 11:35, the Jews said, see how he loved him. So to be like Lazarus means to love the Lord and to also to be loved by the Lord. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. who was in that? Lazarus was in that. He loved the Lord and the Lord loved him. Who else is in that? It would not be a stretch. It'd be a fair rendering of the text this morning if you would substitute the world for your name. For God so loved Mark or Bob or Tanya, Michelle, whatever your name, just substitute it. And it still speaks of the truth of the statement that He gave His Son for you. It doesn't take away from the text at all to substitute your name for the world, because it's just the truest statement. Paul said in the book of Romans, while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. Lazarus loved the Lord, but the Lord loved Lazarus. John 17, Jesus praying prior to his death, I do not pray for these alone, but for also those who believe in me through your word, that they may be one as you and the Father are in me and I in you, that they be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Who's he talking about in John chapter 17? Me and you. John chapter 17, Jesus is talking about the people assembled at Netherland Church of Christ in Rickman, Tennessee on February the 18th, 2018. Right? It's us. He's praying for us. And he's good as said your name right there. That we may be one with him and him with us as God and the Father is one. That's what his heart, that's what his desire is. And that we may believe on the one that's in him. Could I be Lazarus? Remember I said, Lazarus loved the Lord, the Lord loved him, and Lazarus obeyed the Lord. When he heard his name called, Lazarus, come forth, what did he do? Come forth. Brother Charles Lemons is very influential in my life. He's my preacher for many years. When I was going to church in Double Springs, Charles performed our wedding ceremony when Tammy and I got married. Brother Lemons was from a different time and a different way. When we got married, he didn't say, you may kiss your bride. He said, you may salute your bride. He just said, you know, I want to go, yeah, it's too cute, but you know, so you may salute your bride. But I remember Brother Lemon saying this, and it really held with me in John chapter 11, because you understand the practice of the Jews at that time was a little bit different than how we do burials today. I mean, we bury an individual in the ground, an individual space and stuff like that. But the Jews had tombs, and they were family tombs. And you would lay the body out, wrapped in spices and wrapped in linen and stuff like that, and they would remain there for a year. And on the anniversary of the death, you'd go back and open the grave up, and in that year interval, you had a special stone box carved. Then you would take your loved one's remains, and you would lay them gently in the ossuary, the stone box. You take their femur bones and you lay everything in there, put the lid on the top, and go add it to the shelf of everyone else was in there. So, you know, great-grandma and everybody else had been in the same tomb. You'd have everybody gathered there. And Brother Lemon said this, and hung with me. He said, Lazarus, come forth, because if he said, come forth, everybody would came out of there. That would... It's true. There was a part in which Lazarus could not obey the Lord. But there was something about his nature and character during his life that the relationship with Jesus was important to him. There was some degree of willingness to obey the Lord. And so Lazarus comes forth because he obeyed the Lord. I mean, he becomes a pretty good prototype for what we ought to aspire to be. And for Jesus, loving is obeying, and obeying is loving. Do Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. I got a little secret for you young folks that aren't grown yet. If you don't want to work hard, never have kids. Because raising kids is hard. You know? But sometimes as a parent, you feel most loved when your kids obey you. And sometimes when they disobey, you think, what in the world have I done? What am I doing wrong? Amen? You know, yeah, just obey your parents makes them feel loved. You know? Being rowdy makes them wonder, what did I do wrong? You know? But Jesus says, loving is equal to obeying. Obeying is equal to loving. If you love me, keep my commandments. It's pretty straightforward. In fact, John chapter 15, verse 10, Jesus says, if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love. Just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Loving is obeying. Obeying is loving. So Jesus said there's just, you know, this positive feedback loop. The more you love, the more you obey. The more you obey, the more you love. The more you experience love, the more you obey. The more it's sort of a positive feedback loop. To the point, it delights us to obey the Lord. On one occasion, Jesus makes this sort of beautiful invitation. You know, he says, come learn of me. Take my yoke upon you. It's not a burden. I'm meek and lowly in spirit, and the burden is light. Jesus says loving him is obeying him, and obeying him is loving him. Will I be Lazarus? Not could I be Lazarus, but will I be Lazarus? Three ways. Do I love Jesus? There's a whole lot in this religious world, and we talked about an issue this morning that's out there in the religious world, and even with some of our brethren and stuff. And the point was made, well, what does that matter? And I said, clearly, it don't matter. What matters the most on this situation is what's your relationship like with Jesus? I mean, there's a whole lot of things out in the religious world that we can debate all the day long, and we wait to the end of time for the Lord to reveal to us the truth of it, the right of it. But what matters is your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's it. It's the only really thing that really matters is where do you stand with Jesus. And it's not about how good you are or how right you are. It's about how much do you love him. And are you going to allow his love to be expressed to you? Now, this is something we had a visitor that was here the Sunday. I said this a few years ago, and I have a chance to had a couple conversations with him following me. And this man grew up in church all of his life. All of his life. And he says, I never heard anyone say what you said that day. I said, what was that? He said, you said. He said, you said there's not been one single solitary moment in my entire life that God did not love me. I said, that's true. He said, I didn't grow up believing that. And I didn't grow up hearing that. He said, I didn't know that God always loved me. And I said, yep. I said, he may not always approve of what we're doing, but he never stopped loving. He said, I didn't know that. He said, it's hard for me to believe that. He said, if that is true, it changes my perception of who God is. And I said, well, that's who he is. John said in 1 John, God is love. And so what I said then, I fully believe now, there's not been one single second of your solitary life. I don't care what you thought you were doing that was wrong. I don't care where you were. God still loved you. And he never stopped. See, so many of us grew up with the idea that we were in and out of God's love all the time. We said a quick prayer asking for forgiveness, we were in it. But we stumped our toes, said something bad, we were out of it. And we were in and out, in and out, in and out, in and out. And that's not what Scripture says. If we could be good enough to earn our salvation, Jesus did not need to die. We are saved by His grace through faith and obedience. That's it. Lazarus heard the voice of Jesus and obeyed it. That's it. I mean, it's pretty simple, really, to be like Lazarus. Love the Lord, let the Lord love you, and obey Him. Now, there's a whole, when I contemplate the story, and we'll probably talk a little bit about it Wednesday night in Bible study class, I do not know what Lazarus thought about being brought back from the dead. He might have been perfectly content where he was. He said, wait a minute, I got to do this again? And part of the philosophical reasons, not just that Jesus loved him and had compassion on him and his sister, but why did Jesus weep? Because he knew that what lied ahead of Lazarus in his current state was much better than what he's bringing you back to. You can't help but believe that. But if you're here this morning, do you hear the Savior's voice? Come forth. Come away from. You know, not every person who is dead is in a tomb. Some people are walking around. They're spiritually dead. The spark of the Holy Spirit's not burning within their heart, or they've smushed it out. Extinguished it. But every once in a while, it'll kick back up again. And they feel a conviction. I know what I need to do. I just need to do it. But I can't find the courage to do it, or I find excuses not to do it. And sometimes you just got to be like Lazarus. Just do it. Come forth, do it. Let the Lord's love compel you out of the pit. Brother Steve has chosen a song we're going to sing. We're going to give a period of time for a response. But let me tell you this. That is a period of time that we set aside as a matter of convenience. But that is not the period of time which you can respond. Anytime, day or not. A good percentage of the people I baptized here at Netherland did not come forward at the end of a worship service. They just said, hey, Mark, I'm ready. I'll meet you at the church. So if you have a need beyond this window of time, these few verses, you let one of us know and we will meet you where you are and take you to where you need to be. And that's a promise. But Brother Steve's going to lead us. And so if you're subject, if you feel the Spirit and you cannot say no to it this morning, say yes to it and let us assist you. Brother Steve's going to lead us in a song at this time.